The rest of our hour we'll spend doing some passages from Sandover. This very long poem is based on communications with the Ouija board, over the Ouija board. For nearly 25 years, David Jackson and I held these seances, whether at home in Connecticut or in that house in Athens I wrote about in After the Fire, using a handmade board covered with alphabet, Arabic numerals, a few punctuation marks, and with an overturned teacup for a pointer. We came to be in touch with a whole universe whose voices ranged from those of dead friends and strangers to fallen angels or subatomic particles, on to God, biology, and his twin sister, the Queen of Heaven, also known as Psyche, or Nature, or Chaos. In Volume 3 of the trilogy, our principal instructors are the four elemental angels. We have the Archangel Michael, the Angel of Light and Air, Gabriel, Angel of Fire or Antimatter, Emmanuel of Water, Raphael of Earth. These angels have earlier described themselves as the senses of God. Michael would therefore be the sight of God, Gabriel the taste, Emmanuel the touch, Raphael the hearing. The sense of smell, along with the very breath of life, is, as we'll discover in the passage you'll hear, the province of nature herself. There are furthermore a bat who turns into a peacock and a unicorn left over from the cataclysm of Atlantis, to whom we have given the name Eunice. These two seem to personify what the physicists call the weak and the strong force. I've had a unicorn in mind since a poem from my very first book, a little sonnet that I'll read to you. The unicorn here is much more of a literary construction than Eunice is in Sandover, owing a good deal, I would say, to Rilke and to the stag in the white stag in Flaubert's story about St. Julian. But here's the first appearance of that motif. Hunters choke the golden clearing with apertures, eye, nostril, ear, for there a candor prances, unicorn rare, whose hooves since dawn were steering the whole hunt toward beatitude. Yet when to pouring horns his captors nearing the mound where he should stand subdued, find once more the shining puzzle they stalk is constantly disappearing beyond the hounds and musket muzzles. How shall they think that, fearing he might too blissfully amaze, the white stag leaps unseen into their gaze, into their empty horns, past hearing?